this is fun. I have to say that.
Oh, can learning be fun?
It is. And I mean, the Word of God changes our lives, our hope, our families, our marriages, everything. And when we're studying the Word of God and actually getting curious about the process and then learning different ways in ministry that you can do this.
Right.
How amazing.
So we're going to look this time at the attention Bible study. Okay?
Okay, so this is all based upon, you've got to know basically the context. You know, we're not saying do this without.
Right.
But once you do that, you can sort of shift a methodology a little bit.
Well, and this is especially easy. It's an easy way to go if you just want to get some discussion.
I see.
You know, like, and especially for new people that, you know, it might be overwhelmed. I mean, as a leader, you know the background and so on. But sometimes, you know, people that know a lot about the Bible tend to sort of gravitate towards all this teaching.
Right.
So but a new person is like, then they feel intimidated and they feel like they'll never catch on, they'll never get anywhere.
Right.
And this sort of Bible study really helps a new person feel like, maybe I can do this.
So in other words, the first style of Bible study as a leader, you can know all this and the trouble in the text and the context.
Right.
But to a certain audience,
this
is more like taking them more lightly or putting their toe in the water.
Yes.
Without blowing them away. And also, too, it keeps away from the danger of becoming the know-it-all.
Right.
You know, that is a downside, too. If you know a lot in ministry, you start, like, get so enthused how we are. Yeah. And now we come off like the answer people. Right. Like, oh, we know this, and you know nothing. You know,
exactly.
And, so,
and then people then think that way for the next 5 years about the
church. It's like, oh,
their mentality
I will never
catch up to all these church people.
All these smart people.
But if you do something like this, all right, how to create your own attention Bible study.
Okay.
All right. So you read the passage and have everyone silently take note of what got their attention. Might be something they don't understand or something that's really interesting or something that stands out for them for any reason.
Okay, for any reason?
Any reason.
So this feels like you're going on the subjective side, and that's okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So...
Yeah, I'll take that picture off
Take us out of there. All right. Okay. So, Henry, as we look at this is the story of the prodigal son. And if I were to look at this, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like your hired servant. So he got up to his father. So off the cuff, Henry, this is your first time just looking at this. What would you underline?
I would, first of all, he came to his senses.
Okay.
So...
He came to his senses. So Henry chooses, he came to his senses.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to choose this. Okay? I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.
Okay.
So all right.
Two points here.
So we came to his senses, I'm no longer. So now we ask three questions.
Okay.
Of each person, right? Each person underlines something.
Okay.
And each person is going to answer these three questions. So the first question is, what stood out to you or what got your attention? So we've done that.
To a census.
Right. Okay. Why do you think that got your attention?
Well, because in ministry, sometimes people just so are going down a path that is so destructive for themselves, their family. And many times people weren't raised that way. They were raised with the Word of God.
Right.
So I'm praying right now for a large number of people, and I have a prayer, Lord, help them come to their senses. I'll say in all these different ways.
So this is sort of a concern that you have right now, and this is this gave voice to it.
Yes, it did. Okay. It gave voice.
So what was mine again? Mine is, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.
Okay.
He got my attention because just before that, the father had already accepted him back as a son.
Right.
And he did this confession thing, like he practiced it, but then he came home and he was accepted back as a son before he made his confession.
Yeah.
Right?
Do that, yeah.
But he still makes his confession.
Mm-hmm.
So why?
Right.
Well, but he made his confession, but he didn't say, make me like one of your hired servants. That's
right.
What he practiced, but he doesn't say it here. And he doesn't
right.
say it here because he's already been accepted as a son. So what I saw in this text is he was forgiven without asking for it. But he still confesses.
Right.
Because now he really feels bad, not to get something,
right.
but because he just feels bad. Okay.
Right.
So that's why it got my attention.
Okay.
Then number three, what do you think God might be trying to tell you in what stood out to you?
So if I think about coming to your senses, I think God is recognizing the truth that this is a problem, and that the prodigal son happens tens of thousands of times, millions of times since this was written by Jesus.
Right.
And be encouraged, Henry,
right.
that the story talks about a father concerned about his son, and if I'm concerned about my children or my friends, that here's a story that gives me great hope.
Okay.
So it speaks to me, like, if in those days, you know, like Adam and Eve were God's children, but they fell.
Right.
Really amazing people have children or friends
right.
that you're raising the habits of walking and they fall. And yet there's this powerful story of redemption
right.
that gives me hope.
Okay.
Transparently, that's why it sticks, you know,
right.
what God is trying to tell me, keep praying. And keep hoping.
Okay. So what I found interesting is you started off kind of in the third person. It's good for people. And then you finally got to, well, in the context of my own family. See, now that's a little more personal.
Yes.
Okay. So that, because that's what people are going to do. They're going to go into teach mode or
right.
this text is really good for the world because the world is
right. world needs
broken
yeah.
and
millions
know,
of times.
My friend
yeah,
needs
yeah.
this and on and on and on. But it's a lot harder to get into the personal. Why do
right.
I need this?
Right.
Where do I need to come to my senses?
Right.
What exactly is going on in my life? See, that
right.
is a harder leap. And as a leader, that's where you have to sort of
lead them in that transparency.
Yeah, lead them in that. So it's like, you know, that's really true. People do need that. But why do you need that?
Right.
See, I think you'll have to do that because, you know, if I took mine too, you know, that you know, why do you think God might be trying to tell you in what stood out? What stood out to me was the fact that the son was, you know, accepted without before he made his confession. So for me, it would be, where am I trying to manipulate God? Where am I trying to do good things? You know, and now I somehow deserve it, like that prodigal,
right.
you know, or like the older son. You know, in some ways, the older son is, how am I like the older son?
Right.
And why am I thinking about it this week? Okay?
Right.
So as a leader, you really have to push. You have to go in deeper because people want to stay with the first two questions. If you go back
right.
to the questions, Henry, what stood out for you? That's easy.
Yeah.
You just underline something and who
why,
knows?
Yeah.
Right? And then number two, well, why do you think it got your attention? Well,
because
right. I was confused by it. They'll have some reason. And
right.
everyone, regardless of if this is the first Bible study they've ever gone to, will be able to get that.
Right.
Okay? So those first two are easy.
Right.
The third one is really hard.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, because if I think about it, there's a lot of encouragement, but to go to that level of where do I still have to come to my senses, that you actually, as a leader, intentionally, you know, sort of brought me. And it's interesting, when you talked about, like, yourself, then I thought of an application. So when you do it this way, you can bring me quicker to an application for what stands out for you.
Right.
So I thought to myself, you know, the younger son can, you know, actually went through the confession when he didn't need to.
Right.
And there are times when, you know, we pray the acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And sometimes the, you know, the theology of your sins are all forgiven at the cross.
Right, right.
So I don't really need to do confession. So why do we do confession? Right. Our entire childhood in the churches that we went out to every single Sunday had the call to confession and the promise of, you know, forgiveness and all of those things every week. And in I remember at one point I was thinking in church, I was like 15 or 16, like, now what's the deal with that? I mean, you got Jesus Christ died on the cross, your sins are forgiven, but it's still, there's a conscience we have, there's sins that we commit, we still need to come to confession. There, in fact, the tradition of the ancient traditions, Catholic, even still have a confession booth.
Yes. Well, we did do that in our churches, and I know, my father ended every prayer, most everyone I knew, and forgive us our many sins for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
But no one ever elaborated on those.
Right.
No one ever said what those sins were.
Right.
So it was a broad, general thing. We're forgiven in general.
Right.
The reason the prodigal son made his confession, even though he had already gotten what originally he thought, he came to his senses, and the first thing he realized is, I'm hungry.
Right.
But how am I going to go back? I'm going to have to confess. So he has this confession, but it's to get something.
Right.
Make me one of your servants.
Yeah.
At least I won't starve. Okay.
Yeah.
He comes back and he's overwhelmed because he's accepted back as a son without even saying anything.
Right.
So why does he confess? He confesses because he sees how loving his father is in the face of all his rebellion, all of his sin. And the father never stopped loving me.
Right.
I didn't realize that. And now he feels, how did I treat my father this way?
Right.
He really feels bad. So part of, I think, what you're saying is we need to understand what Jesus did on the cross, we actually have to understand what he did for us. And
right.
if we don't realize the sins, if we don't realize how we hurt our father by going our own way and being selfish and saying, you know, Father, I'm going to do my own thing.
Right.
How do you and I do that?
Right.
You know, specifically, because then we realize what we've been forgiven from.
Right. So it's this, like, entitlement, no.
Right.
Gratitude, yes.
Yes.
Okay, so it's like, Paul even put it, we do not sin that grace will abound.
Right.
So it's really, he's applying this story of Jesus in a very powerful way.
Right.
You know, it's fascinating. I mean, we had a little Bible study here talking about Bible study.
Yeah, right.
We will often do that. We'll start talking about something, and the next thing you know,
it's an impromptu Bible study.
Yeah, so that's another example of friendship Bible study. We've traveled the world together, and it's always interesting how these types of things build on, and when we'll do devotions, like even when you do family devotions, this is a beautiful thing to do. Like, okay, kids, what stands out in the text?
You can have a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old,
yeah,
a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, and it works for all of them.
Right.
And, you know, it's also sort of a life coaching thing. Let's just look at these questions. What stood out for you? I'm not telling you. I'm not giving you the answer. Why do you think it got your attention? What do you think, God? All these are more coaching kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And notice then when people do it, they feel like, wow, I'm actually letting the Word of God, you know, have its way with me. I'm learning things about me. And what gets the credit? It's this Bible study.
Right. And here's really where the theology of the Holy Spirit comes in a very tangible way. So as you take more ministry training, you know, we talk all about some of the theological understandings of how the Holy Spirit works and how the wind blows. But this type of Bible study can be done in a lot of contexts with new Christians, old Christians. I mean, we preface this by saying this is for newer Christians to put their toe in the water. Well, we taught this. Ourselves are going deep.
Right.
Because we know this is nothing, this is a powerful, deep.
In fact, this is a pastor could do this with his sermon writing. It's really maybe the preface to this kind of Bible study is praying that the Holy Spirit will lead us. Lord, open us up to what you want to speak to us. Draw our attention. When I start underlining, I may underline it because I like that particular word, or who knows why. But if I ask the Holy Spirit to please direct me, I want the Word of God to, you know, help me understand who I am, what your role for my life is. So ask the Holy Spirit, and then trust that the Holy Spirit is going to be in this process.
In a lot of ways, this is sort of like the "you are the man," you know, the story of David, and it's that when the light goes on to something, you know, you're asked these kinds of questions.
Right.
Often, the light goes on.
Well,
the Holy Spirit.
It's sort of like the first few questions are just sort of easy. But they're setting you up for getting under something that you might, or to help you reveal or have it revealed a deeper level than you would have ever thought.
And to go back to this, I mean, this is the curious walk with God.
Right.
And once you start opening yourself up to it, you know, you become changed over layers of truth through the Holy Spirit that gets put to you, and this increases your impact as a ministry leader as well.
All right.
Enough on this one. Before we did this, Steve said, this would be a really short one. And here we ended up, you know, taking it long because we had a little Bible study while we were doing it. So, okay, till we meet again.